Well, I'm excited about today's message in this healing series that we're in. And if you have your Bibles, you can go to John chapter 4 and verse 46. You know, one thing that I've known and have dealt with people and I've had to deal with in my own lives is strongholds. Yeah. Strongholds of wrong thinking, you know. And what's amazing is that the Bible says that transformation, the power of God's involved, but that's not the catalyst. The catalyst is the renewal of the mind so the power of God can then work. Because think about it, the power of God is always everywhere. It's never, the faucet's never turned off on that. The well has never run dry on the power of God. And God's always ready, willing, and able and wanting to bless us. But the way it happens, the Bible says transformation by that power comes through the renewing of the mind. And so many people think wrong. You know, even when we talk about the offering scripture today, financially, people don't think right. They don't think in line with the word, and then that transformation doesn't come. And it wasn't until Abraham thought right that the transformation of what could happen, and then God's power was able to work. And with healing, it's the same thing. There's a lot of strongholds that people have, and they've taken thoughts of, you know, what the enemy's given them, what the world has given them, and that's their reality, that's their belief. And I'm excited for today because in this message today, those strongholds will be pulled down by the word. And that's how you pull strongholds down. You know, you answer lies with truth. And remember, the enemy won't attack you with truth because he doesn't have truth. He attacks you with lies and fear and deceit. But the Bible can come in and shed light on, hey, that's not right. That's wrong thinking. The way you're living, the way you're thinking is wrong, and pull those things down so you can get that transformation. So let's pray. Father, help us this morning, Lord. I know what's in my heart. I know what I want to convey, but Father, I'm not the greatest of speakers or most eloquent. I need your help this morning. So help me to present it the way that you would want, Father, that would be the greatest blessing in this service, Father. We need to hear from heaven. We need change. We need to go forward walking in the light of the word in your ways, Father, that there's so much untruth in the world right now. There's so much fear being just shoved down our throats, Father, in our face constantly. And Lord, it's the truth of the word of God that we ought to cling to. It's not the truth of natural circumstances. It's not the truth of doctor's reports. It's not the truth of pay stubs and checking accounts. And it's not the truth of CNN or Fox News or MSNBC or what the politicians are saying. No, the truth that we cling to is the word of God. And so help us this morning to present truth. Help us to receive truth. And Father, I thank you that we'll receive all that you have for us, and we'll give you the praise and the glory for it. And we thank you for bullseyes being hit, for help being given today. And of course, you get the praise and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, in John chapter 4 and verse 46, and I do encourage you to go to the last 2 weeks and listen to those. This series is called Faith for Healing. Just following the Holy Spirit of what he wants us to share. And I was excited when I was praying, and this was the portion of scripture that came up because there's so much in it, but we'll have look at certain things here today. But anyways, in John chapter 4, in verse 46, so Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went out unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except you believe or see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down ere before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him and went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, your son lives. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, your son lives, and himself believed in his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was coming out of Judea in Galilee. Now, I was reading verse 52, and the Holy Ghost, right as I was reading that, said people are going to be set free in this service this morning. And what I mean by that is I know there's strongholds here and needs to be broken down. And so let's look at what the Holy Spirit wants to say about this portion of Scripture. You know, these things that are included are for our admonition. They're there on purpose. You know, there were so many things that Jesus did that the Bible says wasn't even recorded. But the ones that were are the ones that we need and the ones that will help us. And so I want to get these things and pull these things down today and shed light into people and build your faith. And, you know, I look here. If you go down to where it says the nobleman, verse 49, said to Jesus, "Come down here before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your son lives." And notice the Bible says, and the man believed the word that Jesus spoke unto him. Jesus didn't go to the man's house. Jesus didn't show up and lay hands on them, and then Jesus didn't have a prayer meeting at the house. Jesus didn't bring his anointing to the house. Jesus just spoke the word, and it worked, praise God. But the Bible says the man believed. Here's another case where a person has to believe in what the Lord's doing. You know, God wants to work, but has to believe. But the thing that I want to point out to you is that this man believed the word that Jesus spoke. And, you know, like I was saying earlier, my job is to empower you. My job's to make you as independent as possible. I said last night, I don't know if the devil promotes this in ministers or in people to have a neediness mentality or a mentality where ministers, you know, maybe it strokes their ego to have people to have to rely on them. That's not what God wants for you. God wants you to get out there and be independent. God wants to raise you up and to be stronger. Now, don't misunderstand me, because the devil will take this to the extreme where you think I can never reach out for prayer, that the agreement of prayer. No, these things are biblical, but my point is this. There are going to be times in your life where the only thing that you have to bank on is God's word. What do I mean by that? You won't have a minister there. You won't have a healing anointing, so to speak, from a minister tangible at that place of sickness. Someone to lay hands, because we know the laying out of hands is biblical. We know the prayer of agreement is biblical. But at times, and even so, we don't kick against the word. We welcome the word. I've had hands laid on me. I have people agreeing with me in prayer. But even so, with things that, you know, when we get prayed for, we are in agreement of prayer, and then we're in that patience part of faith, you now have to deal with that on your own. And what I mean by that is, you know, especially with sickness and disease, that really messes with people, because you're not feeling well. You're weak, you're tired, maybe you're not eating right, you're not getting the proper amount of sleep, your body's in pain. And so the way you think is off when you're sick. At least for me it is. I don't think the same way when my body's broke down, when I'm hurting, when I'm not feeling well. And so it's in that place of weakness in your mind and weakness in your flesh that the devil will pounce on you. He will pounce on you, and he'll give you thoughts of and imaginations and things in your mind that this is your new reality, that it's going to get worse. You're never going to recover from this. This is the thing that's going to take you out, right? You start having visions of your funeral. You'll start having thoughts of what are my kids going to do? What are my family going to do without me, right? That's where the devil pounces in those places. And see, in the middle of the night at 2:30 in the morning when he's doing that, Pastor Mike's not by your bedside. Brother Hagin's not there. Jesus might not be in your room, you know, visible for you to see, but his word is always there. And what this does in this portion of Scripture is Jesus was bringing this man's faith up to the absolute highest level it could go. What is the highest level of faith? When all you need to believe is God's word. When you don't need a minister. When you don't need laying of hands. Now again, let me balance that. That doesn't mean when you come up, when you feel prompted to do that, that it's less of faith. I'm not saying that. But you don't have that at home. You don't have that, you know, you might not be able to get a hold of somebody that can talk you down off these worries and fears wherever you are in life or a certain situation in life, but you'll always have his word. And Jesus always wants to enable us and empower us to get to the absolute place where, hey, I can't get my pastor on the phone. I don't have anyone to lay hands on me, but that's okay. I'm not going to panic. I got his word. Amen? Because we're so caught up, and it would be so wonderful if we could get Jesus to appear to us, or if we could just have somebody call it out, or if we could have hands laid on us. Those things are well and great, and when they happen, fine. That's great. We welcome them. We're glad when the Holy Ghost does those things. But when those things don't happen, the Word is enough. Yeah. Hallelujah. The Word is enough. And you have to know that your faith, your belief in the Word is enough to carry you. The person that you are, I don't care if you don't have REV period in front of your name. I don't care if you don't have a ministry. I don't care. It doesn't matter. The Word and your faith is enough to do this, praise God. And here's the interesting thing is, even, and this is why you need to build yourself up and get stand on your own two feet with faith, even when ministers are present, even when Jesus himself was present, people still missed it. People still didn't get it. When Jesus himself was there, the woman with the issue of blood in Mark 5, the Bible says there were multitudes thronging her. Not just the woman. Many sick people were touching him. But power only went out of his body for one person. That means there Jesus was, and I'm sure they thought, just because he's here, things will change for me. But it was the fact that he was there coupled with a person's faith that changed things. People can have hands laid on them and it not do anything for them. But one thing that will always be enough and that will always work is faith in God's word. And that is empowering to me, because at least my brain works this way, like, and I think it's not so much anymore of having my mind renewed, but you always, at least I do, tend to think, well, Pastor Nancy Dufresne, she's got more of an inroad than I do. And that's not true. Or my pastor, he knows how to get heaven to move more than I ever could. And I'm here to tell you, you might think that, but that is not the truth. Go to James 5 and verse 13 real quick. I want to help you here. James 5 and verse 13. Lord, you hear my prayer when I call out, praise God. Yeah, you do hear Pastor Nancy Dufresne's prayer. Yeah, you hear Jesus' prayer. Yeah, you heard Brother Hagin's prayer when he was on the earth. But you hear mine just as much. And we're helping you to be strong, because I'm telling you, it's, you know, where things are lost, the battle is won, you know, they say with a football game, you know, that the battle's won at the line of scrimmage. And what that means is the big offensive lineman and the big defensive lineman, where if one of those squads can outdo the other, you know, if the defensive line can outdo, they're gonna cause havoc on the offense. And if the offense can their front people and the big guys can push around the other teams, the offense is going to be able to do whatever they want. But in that place, that line of scrimmage, that's where the trenches, they call it, in the trenches, where every play, it's a collision, every single play, and it's a battle of struggle to move one way and to move another way. Well, when you're in the trenches, things get a lot lighter and a lot easier for people in this setting. But when you're at home in the middle of the night and you wake up with pain in your body and you're getting all sorts of thoughts and you're getting all sorts of things thrown at you, and this goes financially, this goes for your kids, it's in those trenches moments when the faith battle is won and lost. Because that's when it's pressing on you. And you know, when you're in the anointing and we're praising God and the preacher's preaching and we're rejoicing and we have each other to lean on, it's easier in this realm. But in the trenches, you need to know and understand God is with you, God hears you, and your faith is enough to get you out of that thing. Because it's in that place that the devil's really going to come against you, and you're going to have a choice then. What do I do? Do I get into doubt and unbelief, or do I stay strong in my faith? And I've been there before where I have dropped the ball, where it's become too much. But when you get your mind renewed to this, say, no, 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 I can do this, praise God. James 5:13 says, is any among you afflicted? Well, there's many different types of afflictions. It can be a physical affliction. It can be a financial affliction. It can be a mental and emotional affliction. It could be a family affliction. But he says, if any is among you is afflicted, look at what he says is the answer. He doesn't say, if any among you is afflicted, you better find somebody with a higher anointing than you to fix that. No. If any among you is afflicted, you know, make sure this is only going to change for you if I can get my pastor on this. Now, yes, the prayer of agreement, laying on hands, don't misunderstand me. But when those things aren't available and you're in the trenches in the middle of the night and it's dark and it's coming down on you, if you're afflicted, the Bible says, let the afflicted one pray. Now, of course, in prayer, there's many different types of prayer, but one of the prayers is a prayer of faith, which is the releasing of your faith. And it's saying, what's it telling you there? And it goes on in those verses to talk about Elijah, right? And then it talked about Elijah, and it said, and we think of Elijah as what? He's a Brother Hagin. He's a Pastor Nancy Dufresne. He's a Lester Summerall. He's a mighty, mighty man of God. But the Bible, in this context, if you drop down, it says what? Elijah was just a man who was like us. And I love that, because if it talks about how you have to be a prophet and have an anointing to get by on some things, we might be in trouble. But the Bible doesn't say that. It says that if you're afflicted, the person, talking to Christians, you can pray and have change. Because why? People that pray get power available to them and their lives change. Praise God. And so this man, go back to John chapter 4 and verse 46. This man, Jesus told him, he said, go your way, your son lives. It was enough for him. The word is enough. And that's great, because that might be all you have at times. Thank God it's enough. If he said, you know, you need the word with the laying on of hands, with the agreement of prayer, with the prayer team praying, okay, then we got to check off a lot of boxes that are hard to get in order at times. But no, the word's enough, people. Don't believe the lie that you're not anointed enough. You have an anointing on the inside of you. Amen. Trying to raise you up, praise God. Empower you. Glory to God. And that's a stronghold in people's minds, that I can't connect to God, that I need someone else to help me through this. No, your faith on the Word of God will get you out of your problems. Praise God. Now drop down to verse 50, in John chapter 4 and verse 50. Jesus said unto him, go your way, your son lives. And the man believed. Now remember this, we're in the day of age, there's no cell phones, there's no email, there's no way to find out or FaceTime or to get a phone call here. The Bible says, and we don't know how long the journey was, but he wouldn't know anything else than what Jesus is saying. It says the man believed the word that Jesus spoke. Now, what am I pointing out? Well, one of the areas of faith that people get so tripped up in and drop the ball, and it's the whole crux of what faith is the belief in the unseen. And when I say belief, to believe means, well, we'll see, go to Mark 11:24 here, but notice he believed the word that Jesus spoke. He had no report. When he was in belief, when he believed he received, he had no report that anything had changed. He had no report that anything at all was different. Amen? None at all. All he had was that Jesus said, your son's okay. Praise God. Do you know that you have reports from the Word? The Word right now is telling you, you're going to be okay financially. That's what it says. The word right now is telling you you're healed. It is. It's telling you that. The word right now is telling you things about your children, telling you things about your deliverance, telling you things about your turnaround. But you need to ask yourself, and we'll look at this, and we'll really, really kind of get down in there and dig the wrong things out. But am I really there? Because the word tells you these things. Do you believe that? Because the Bible says this man believed before, but look at Mark 11:24. It says, therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire. Well, when you're sick, I know what I desire, to be well. It's no fun. But he says, whatsoever things you desire, well, when you're broke, I know what I desire when I don't have enough money. When I need help with my kids, different things, you know, I know what I desire. But he says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray. Those three words might be the most important three words in this verse. Because it's telling you a time and a location. It says you have to understand something about when you pray. Now, what do we know about when you pray? Well, what did the Bible say in James 5 and verse 13? Is any among you afflicted? What's the result? Let him. Now, we don't always pray when we're in a place of need. You know, we shouldn't always just pray. You know, the highest form of prayer is praise and thanksgiving or worship, which that's not a prayer of taking. That's a prayer of giving, right? And so there's that prayer, but, you know, a lot of times the Bible offers us, says, you know, we can come to him, knock, it'll be opened, ask, receive, seek, we'll find. He's inviting us, come boldly to the throne. He wants to help us, is what I'm saying. But it says, you know, part of the reason we're praying is because we're in a place of need. You know, I'm going to him on behalf of my finances because my finances are struggling. I'm going to him on behalf of my body because my body's struggling, right? So you're in that place of affliction, or you could say it this way, you're in that place of feeling and seeing and experiencing naturally the negative of what you want changed. But the Bible says, now remember, in that guy's mind and in that guy's reality, naturally, all he knew and the last thing he saw was his son that was about to die. But something changed in him that before he would see anything, before he got any reports or anything, or got to talk with his son or people that were with his son, he got to a place where he believed without seeing. And the word says here, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray in that place of prayer, which is what? The place of affliction, the place of the tests and trials, the place of the oppression against you. When you pray, believe you receive. Amen. And then look at the result, and you shall have them. We want to get to the "and you shall have them" part, but unfortunately, people are bypassing the believing you receive it first. And they struggle with this. And they can't get it and grasp it. How can I believe it when I can't see it? Well, let me just say, you better learn to believe it before you see it, because that's how it works. Hallelujah. Believing before seeing is a requirement to receiving. Okay? And you might think to yourself, I can't do this, but I'm here to tell you, you most likely do this all the time. You don't recognize that you're doing it all the time, but let me help you how you're doing this all the time, believing before you can see it and receive it. How many of you do online ordering of things, right? I mean, most everybody in 2021 here does, but I'll give you an example. I order most of the stuff I get hunting-wise. I order online different things, and there was one time that I'd actually gone to the store and bought these fancy binoculars. I mean, you wouldn't even believe what things look like through these things. I made the mistake, unfortunately, of looking through them at the store, and the guy told me, said, and I had been saving gift cards and things for years and years. I had had my sights on these things, and the guy told me, said, just know this, before you look at these, he says, I'm warning you, don't do it. He said, because everything else you look at after that is not going to come close to comparing. Well, I'm all or nothing. Like, holy cow, you're not kidding me. Wow. And I had actually bought them, and I got with the gift cards. And you should have seen, and to thank you, a lot of you, you blessed me with gift cards at times. You should have seen the cashier's reaction when I pulled out my playing deck of cards, of Cabela's cards. I'm not kidding you. They're like this thick. And I stood there and watched them ring them off, the whole thing off, you know, and it was quite fun. But I actually ended up sending them back because I was like, you know what? I don't know how many people have had their hands on these and looked through these. I want ones, if I'm going to pay this much, that nobody's ever touched. So I had taken them back to the store, got my refund, ordered them online. And so I didn't have those. But when I placed the order and pressed send and got my confirmation email, something in me changed. All of a sudden, I was living out of the reality of, these are mine now. Now, no doubt it's different when it shows up. And even naturally, your healing is different when it shows up. There's a manifestation. But he's saying, before the manifestation, there has to be a grasping or a receiving of it. Well, it's the same thing when you order something online. Something changes in your mindset. Right. You know, I just ordered... I do a lot of my processing of my own deer, making the summer sausage, the bologna, the jerky, all that stuff. And I had bought a jerky slicer and a tenderizer, what was on back order. And so they said it was going to be like 2 months. But once I placed the order and once I got my confirmation email, something changed in my thought process. I didn't have it in my hands, but I knew the jerky slicer and meat tenderizer was mine, and so I started living and thinking and prepping as if I have it, because I did believe it was mine. I just hadn't manifested yet. It's the same thing with faith. Yes, it's better when it shows up, but there has to be a grasping. Mark 11:24, one translation says, "Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, take them." You have to take it by faith before it shows up in the natural. Now, when somebody takes it by faith, it's the same thing. When you order something online, you haven't received it yet, but what? You are in full assurance or belief. That thing's showing up. That thing's gonna manifest, and I better start, you know, whether it's whatever you buy, you're making preparations. You know, what did I do? I ordered the spices. I ordered the tubs that I needed. I ordered the different things that I needed for the jerky, the trays and the dehydrator, all that stuff. Why? Because I'm under the assumption this is showing up, right? Well, do you believe? Have you believed when you prayed and released your faith, did you actually believe you received it? Because if you believed you received it, your attitudes, your actions, your words, and the way you go forward would be different. It would. It would be different. But a lot of people in that place of prayer have not believed they've received. Hallelujah. They've not believed they've received it. And again, how do I get to that faith place? I know a lot of this is so redundant, but it's hitting people where they're at. You hear the word, you hear the word, you hear the word, you hear the word. Until something rises up on the inside of you and you realize, that's mine. That happened to Abraham. Remember the Bible said he was persuaded, convinced of what God was saying, which what? Your dad. Something along the lines of hearing that over and over rose up in him, and without the manifestation of the Son, Abraham believed, I'm a dad.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. Amen. If you go back to John chapter 4, the man showed us that he believed in verse 50. Jesus said unto him in John 4 and verse 50, "Go your way, your son liveth." Now look at this. And the man believed the word that Jesus spoke unto him and went his way. Didn't require anything else. See, faith has a rest to it. What do I mean? When you release your faith, for example, say you come up to have hands laid on you for symptoms in your body. Hands are laid on you. That's the place of prayer. That's the place of Mark 11:24. You're believing, I'm believing, we've released our faith. Okay, so from that place now, you're at that moment to believe you're healed. So to walk back to your seat and check for symptoms, and if there is symptoms, and to let it discourage you is telling me you didn't believe you received your healing when you came up. Now this trips people up, and they can't, and then they don't walk into these things. But God was literally asking Abraham to believe he was a dad with no child. God thinks different than you think. Hallelujah. And when you come up, when you release your faith, whether it's in private, whether it's here, do you just go about your way in a place of belief? This man didn't bug Jesus anymore, didn't require him to come to his house, just went on his way. Why? He believed my son's well. When we pray and release the anointing, do you walk away saying, I believe I'm healed, the manifestation's coming, my body's changing? Hallelujah. I don't know if you do or not, but you need to get there. But remember Jesus on the boat in the storm? What was he doing? Sleeping. Why? He was resting on what he believed. What did he believe? Well, he doesn't speak words that he doesn't believe. What did he say before he got on that boat? Going to the other side. I'm going to the other side. So what was he doing? When he said, I'm going to the other side, when hell breaks loose, Jesus doesn't start running around the chicken with his head cut off, panicking, in despair, like he's never been taught anything. Sometimes I wonder, I'm like, you've been in my services for years. Why are you acting like that? Because it's easy to shout amen and stuff when the hell's not at your front door. But the faith trenches are when hell shows up at your front door and is beating against you. But you have to get to a place where his word's enough, and I just rest in it. I believe I received the word. I believe I received the word. I believe I'm healed. I believe I'm rich. I believe I'm, thank you, I'm rich, Father. That's faith. Now go to verse 52 and verse 54. I want to break down another stronghold that will help people. Then inquired he of them the hour that he began to amend. So, it'd be easier to go back to verse 50 and read down through. It'd make more sense. So Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. He was headed home. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, your son lives. So now he gets the report of the manifestation that he hears it in the natural. He already believed it, but then inquired he, the dad, of them, the hour in which his son began to amend. And they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, your son lives, and himself believed in his whole house. This is, again, the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Of course, his first miracle was turning the water into wine, but this was the second miracle. The Bible calls this a miracle. But this will help you because some of you need a miracle in your body. But some of you don't, you have to understand, you're the catalyst for your miracle. Whether you believe or not. And how you respond in the trenches and in the tough parts are whether or not you're going to get your miracle or not. Stop thinking that it's, if God wants it for me, I'll get it. That God must not want this for me because he loves me and I'm his child and I've been going through this. No, you have to understand faith is required. But the Bible calls this a miracle. And go back to verse 52. Then inquired he of them the hour which he began to amend. You know what the word amend means? It means to improve. The son did not get 100% better at that moment, but at that moment, he began to improve. Have you ever heard the terminology when, you know, maybe people are in an argument or someone had said some things or there's been a long history of, you know, a grudge or bitterness, and someone will say, I'm going to reach out to them to begin to make amends. You ever heard that statement? To begin to make amends, what's that mean? To start to get the ball rolling of improvement. Does it mean that at that first contact, everything's going to be fixed and fine, but we're starting to go down that road. Why am I telling you this? The Bible calls this a miracle, and it wasn't an instantaneous healing. What am I telling you this for? You need to understand the majority of things are not instantaneous. And just because time keeps going and going and going doesn't mean you're failing and that your miracle's not coming. The only way your miracle won't come is if you let go of it. And so many people get caught in the time trap. And they believe time over the word. And that's a problem. And so many, and I know I've had this wrong thinking, I had to be renewed, that if I have hands laid on me, or if I release my faith, and I wake up and things get worse, that means I'm doing something wrong. It's not working for me. No, no, if you believe the word, it's working for you. It's working no matter what. That's why I always tell people to lay hands on them. Your job now is to thank God for it. I don't care if it gets worse. I mean, isn't it just like the devil when you release your faith to make things worse? Why does that move us? Why does that trouble us? It doesn't negate the truth. More lies doesn't negate the truth. Repetitive lying to you does not make the truth untrue. The truth is still the truth. See, Nebuchadnezzar turned the fiery furnace up 7 times hotter on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Didn't change the truth that didn't matter how hot the furnace is. They still believed God. That's okay. Turn it up 14 times hotter. Turn it up 21 times. It's not going to matter. Right? And if you don't understand that miracles are not always like this, when you're in that battle and time's going on, you'll drop the ball on your miracle because you'll let go of it. You won't have faith for it anymore because the time trap set in, and you'll go without. You know, I was to tell you a story that kind of the same way of renewing your mind to how this works. You know, I grew up hunting with my dad who passed away in September, and you know, there was a gentleman that was around a lot of times for when I was really young and getting into it. His name was Clarence. He was from Russell, Pennsylvania, and I don't know how my dad and him got hooked up, but I mean, I learned words from Clarence. I'm going to tell you, the words I learned from Clarence, if Caleb and Abby were here, these things, they just wouldn't even know what they are. But I learned words and phrases and jokes from Clarence. Wow, I'm thinking of one right now. I was like, I didn't understand it back then, but I do now. I know exactly what he means now, but anyways, that was Clarence. He was a character, you know, and he's just dry humor, you know, and terrible mouth, but, you know, just make you laugh, you know. But anyways, and he'd come over the night before opening day of deer season. Of course, that was like Christmas Eve for me. And, of course, you'd throw in the VHS tapes of all the hunting shows, and you'd see them kill deer that are giants. I mean, that wouldn't even hardly fit through the doorway. And they're hunting for like 15, 20 minutes, and they kill a deer. And then another guy's sitting in a tree stand. He's hunting for 5, 10 minutes on the show, and he kills a giant deer. Well, as a little boy, you know, I'm thinking, that's how it works. That's how it works. And, see, when you're a little boy, you believe a lot of things. And when I was a little boy, I believed the Buffalo Bills could never lose. I'm a bigger boy now. I don't think they can ever win. I want to be so wrong. Don't misunderstand me. I want to be so wrong. But we're getting the sad stuff out of the way right now. We're digging the other way. But anyways, I thought, that's how it works. I've seen it. I've seen it with my own eyes. That's how it works. You just get, and when we hear these instantaneous healings, or we hear of gifts of the Spirit in the Bible, in our mind then, this is how it works. And if it didn't work this way for me, then it's not working at all. And then what do? We give up. Well, I learned the hard way. Because I wonder why they laugh at me, and I'd tell Clarence, see that buck? That's the kind of buck I'm going to shoot tomorrow. And I'll be in before lunchtime. He'd laugh and swear at me, you know. And he'd just laugh. I'd say, you'll see. Well, he knew, number one, those type of deer aren't even on the property that we're hunting. Number two, those guys that are on TV, you know, you don't see all the hours they're sitting there, that they don't get anything. You don't know the properties they get to hunt on and how they have all access, or even some of them are fenced in properties and things. Like, you don't see that stuff. I just see killing a big deer, and you're going hunting, that's what's going to happen. So I'd run my mouth the night before. That's what I'm going to get. And so then I'd sit in the tree stand, a half hour, hour go by, like, what's going on? This is terrible, and lose interest, right? And then you lose interest, and what do? You drop the ball, and you go in, and you sit on the couch where you can't kill a deer. You know, what I found with it is if I stick with it, and I'm faithful to it, and I do the right thing, I've started to see my wall get a little more filled up. Yeah. Amen. But if you just go out there, and you're out there for an hour, it doesn't happen instantaneously, because that's what it did in that half-hour TV show. And you expect that's the way it's going to work. You're going to go empty-handed.
Right.
You are.
Yeah.
And we see these things, and we hear about these great instantaneous things, and we say, that's how it's got to work for everybody. And when it doesn't work that way for me, I'm doing something wrong, or it's not working for me, and I'm not going to get it. And it's just not how it goes. That's a stronghold. And the devil will work on that stronghold and tell you you're missing it, and tell you that you're failing, and tell you that because you got sick, tell you because it's lingering, that you're doing something wrong. No, this man, it was called a miracle, and there wasn't an instantaneous, complete change. It was a process. Jesus said, lay hands on the sick, and they'll get immediately perfect. No, lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover. What does recover mean? Start to get better. And it can still be a miracle. So if you're here and you've been at this for months, you've been at this for years, and you need to find out, I got to pick back up in faith. Okay, pick back up in faith, but then don't be moved by the time frame.
Yeah.
Just stand on the word.
Amen.
Amen. You even have your own pastor as an example. Remember when my appendix ruptured in 2012 because it had ruptured and I didn't go to the doctor for 3 days, the hospital for 3 days, that poison got into my body and spread through my whole body. And I developed other things when I was in there, had to have another surgery when I was in there, and just different things happened to me because of that poison. Well, there was things they said, you're not going to get over these symptoms for at least a year. That's what the doctor was telling me. And some of these things, we don't know if they'll ever leave your life. Well, there again is an opportunity to believe the natural or believe the word. We know that's not what the word says about me.
Right.
Amen? Amen? And so what I release my faith. No, that's not going to happen. The word says this. But what's interesting is I went home and things got worse for me. Within a week after leaving the hospital, releasing my faith, I was back in the emergency room, collapsed on the floor as a pastor, believing God, passed out sick, in more pain than I was before from some of the reoccurring things that they said happened. And this downward trend went for weeks and weeks, and it took a few months before all those symptoms were gone. What if I would have, when it got worse, this isn't working? No, I just kept my faith, the switch of faith turned on. So many people think, well, I must be doing something wrong. I released my faith and it got worse. No, the devil's just stirring things up to get you to believe wrong.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
The last 2 years thing I went through, that wasn't instantaneous. But I kept the switch of faith turned on, and I walked into the manifestation of it.
Amen.
Praise God. See, the moment you release your faith and believe, that's the moment you begin to amend. That's the moment where I thank God for the instantaneous things. Those are cool. But the moment you believe it and receive it by faith, that's the moment it starts working. The power's in you. Praise God. Hallelujah. So hopefully some of these strongholds were ripped out of your head and help you, you know, to go forward. But if you need to get back in faith on something, get back in faith.
Amen.
Praise God. Father, thank you for the word this morning. Thank you for the examples in the word of God. We praise you and bless you and magnify you. We honor you and glorify you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for helping us, Father. Thank you for these healing messages, Lord. We're blessed to get this in us, to strengthen us, Father, so we have the resolve when it's in the trenches, Father, to know we are the healed of the Lord and healing will come to our bodies. Praise God. Thank you for it, Father. We praise you for it. We thank you for what we're moving into, where we're headed, where we're going. And Father, none of this even means anything or isn't important or, you know, that special without salvation. It would all be fruitless. It would all be worthless. But thank you for dying on that cross for us, Jesus. Father, thank you for sending your son to pay the price so that we could live. We are so grateful and so thankful. Father, your heart is that nobody would ever perish, but that all would have everlasting life. Father, even the people in the world right now that reject you, even the people in the world right now that don't even believe in you, even the people in the world right now that are off and living in immoral and nasty lifestyles and doing awful things to people, your heart is that nobody would perish. Father, thank you. And you made it simple and you made it easy. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, I know that in this room, we're in the company of believers. for the most part, but I want to mention this anyways for those online. And there was one time I preached at Jamestown Church years ago, and I made a mention. I said, let's get off the fence of eternity, and I laid out what it meant to be saved. And a lady came up to me crying after service, and she said, I've been to the church for 2 years. She said, but the way you put it in salvation, she realized I really wasn't saved. I'd been going to church. And you got to cooperate skillfully with the Bible. And so with heads bowed, eyes closed, I want to give an invitation for people to receive Jesus, to receive eternal life. It doesn't mean you're becoming a member of this church or you ever have to step foot in here again, but what it means is you're assured that you're going to heaven. Get off the fence of eternity. It doesn't cost you anything. It's free. And the only thing that you require to do is believe in Jesus. And so with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here, you say, I've never received Jesus, or if you're watching online and I want to know that I'm going to heaven, I want to know that I'm on the right side of this thing, I won't embarrass you, have you stand up, come forward, or say anything on your own, but if you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior for the first time, again, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, would you just lift your hand high in the air? Is there anyone in this service right now that you've never done that before and you want to make sure that you've received the Lord? Anybody before we close? Father, I don't see any hands in the building, but if you're watching online, you say, Pastor, you're talking about me. When this service is over, just call on his name. Romans 10 and verse 9. You look at that verse because that verse will give you the assurance of what I'm telling you. It's the outline of how to be saved. Believe and receive Jesus. And if you're watching this and you say, I need Jesus when this service is over, get quiet with him in a lone place and just say, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again. I ask you to come into my life as my Lord and my Savior. If you'll pray that and mean it, praise God, he will save you. Eternity will be yours. Praise God. In Jesus' name. Father, we just praise you this morning. We thank you. We glorify you and magnify you. We honor you. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. We love you. In Jesus' name. Is there anybody that would like hands laid on them for that? Let's release your faith. Let's get that anointing in you. Again, you say, I don't know. If I come up, is it lack of faith? Not when your pastor's calling it out and asking you to come up to release faith. If there's anybody that needs that healing anointing, wants to release our faith together, come forward. If not, we'll close the service. Anybody at all? And of course, you can come up. Yeah, come on up. Let's believe God. I'm so thankful. The Bible says where two agree on earth is touching anything they ask, it'll be done. And so this is Mark 11:24. From the moment we pray, believe you receive this, Sue, and you walk away thanking God that the power of God's working in your body from head to toe in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. Yes, yes, I feel that anointing. Yeah, right through her body from the top to the bottom, driving out, restoring and making whole. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you for it, Father. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. If there's anybody else, feel free to come forward. And like I'd tell anybody, just thank God for it now. The power's working in me. The power's working in me. The power's working in me. Father, we give reverence and honor to the healing anointing. The fact that you're a healer is so special to me, Father, that you care that much about us. We love you. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to pray in a minute. We're going to give people a chance to dismiss that can't stick around and pray with us. And if you do stick around and you hear us praying in tongues, you know, get a hold of me in private. We'll go ahead and turn the service off now, Jenny. We'll thanks for tuning in. We're glad you were here. Praise God. And go Bills.